All right, let's finish up this section on exploring data by now really trying to summarize how spread out our data is. Center can only get you so far when it comes to describing what a variable's typical value is. Again, you can look at typical in terms of where a data set is located, what's in the center, what's the most common value. However, we also typically consider how spread out a data set is as well. This is something we refer to as variability, or sometimes you'll refer to it as dispersion. So let's talk about a few different ways of measuring this idea of variability, how much variation your different values have in your data set. The range is a very common way to be able to look at variability. Well, what is range? Quite simply, range is literally the difference between the largest and the smallest values inside of your data set. Let's take a look at an example from our data set. For example, the highest temperature that we record in our data set is 90.5 degrees. The lowest temperature that's reported is 22.6 degrees. So if we wanted to try and describe the range of values, the range can be anywhere from 22.6 to 90.5. Or we would say that the range is 67.9 degrees. That's how spread out our temperature values are, at least according to range. So when it comes to range, one thing you have to be very careful of is that it is very sensitive to observations with extreme values. Because it only focuses on the largest and the smallest values in your data set, if your largest value or your smallest value is really, really extreme and doesn't look like any of your other values, this range may appear really, really large. So you have to be mindful and be careful. So in our data set, the spread, at least according to range, of our temperatures would be 67.9 degrees Fahrenheit. Now, why do we care about spread so much? Well, again, when it comes to looking at typical days, you could have something like Hawaii having very similar typical temperatures, let's say, to Atlanta, Georgia. So the center is the same. They have the same average temperature or the same median temperature. However, Hawaii does not have as spread out to temperatures. They're a lot more consistent. They only have, let's say, temperatures between 70 and 90 degrees, whereas somewhere like Atlanta, Georgia can have places from 20 all the way up to 100 degrees. So even though they have the same center, they have a different spread, which would give you a different opinion, again, on what typical looks like in terms of temperature between those two cities. So that's why when we look at data, we don't just look at center. Spread does play a role in what we're looking at. Another common measure of variability is what we refer to as variance. Formally, variance is a measure of spread. It's a measure of dispersion around the mean of your data set. Remember, we talked about mean in our last lecture. It's basically how spread out your data points are from the average. If you actually look at the equation that you see on the right-hand side, it's a little bit complicated. We'll explain it here in a minute. But the idea behind this equation, before we get into it, it's essentially the average of the squared distances between each data value and the mean. So let's take a look at that equation on the right-hand side. First of all, let's look at the left-hand side of the equal sign. We call variance S squared. So if you see something S squared, that is a number variance. Okay, well, let's look on the right-hand side. Well, I have 1 divided by n minus 1. Remember, little n is the number of observations that you have. So here it would be our sample size. Then what do? We have 1 over n minus 1. And then we multiply that. Oh, there's that big summation symbol again. We talked about the summation symbol last time, right? We have this big summation symbol that goes again from I equals 1 to n. So that means we're summing n different times. But what are we summing? Notice on the right-hand side, you don't have x with a little I anymore. We're not just summing x. Take a look at what we're doing. We're taking each value of x, xi, which remember would be x1, x2, x3, all the way up to xn. We're subtracting the mean, x bar. You remember that from our last lecture. We called the mean or the average x bar, x with a little bar on top. And then we squared that value. So if we were to take each value, subtract the mean, square it, and then sum up all of those squared distances from the mean, that would give you the right-hand side of this equation. I know, it may be a little hard to sort of think about. So let's work through an example. Here we have three different columns. The first column is the actual temperature. So we have six different temperatures here. 46.7 degrees, 48.4 degrees, 34.2 degrees, all the way to the last temperature reported in our data set, 72.5 degrees. Now, let's remember from our last lecture. In our last lecture, we said the average, x bar, is 59.5 degrees. So if I were to take each observation, each number in the first column, and I were to subtract the mean, 59.5, that would give you the value in the second column. So let's look at that second column, first row. So if we were to take 46.7 degrees, if we were to subtract off the mean, 59.5, we would get negative 12.8. That's the difference between the actual temperature and the average temperature. Okay, so that gives us the negative 12.8. Well, let's move down to row 2. Again, if we were to take 48.4 degrees, we were to subtract off the average temperature, 59.5, that would give you negative 11.1 degrees. Again, that second data point, 48.4, is 11.1 degrees below the average. And we can continue that all the way down our data set. Let's look at the bottom row. The bottom row is 72.5 degrees, 72.5. If we were to subtract off the average, 59.5, that would leave us with 13 in the second column, bottom row. Oh, well again, that day is 13 degrees hotter than the average temperature. So again, all that middle column is how far above or below the average that specific day was. However, if we want to measure some idea of distance from the average, we can't just add up all those numbers in the second column. Because we have negatives and we have positives, they would all sort of cancel each other out. So what we're going to do is we're going to do what you see in the last column, the third column. We're going to take the number from the second column and we're going to multiply it by itself. Again, we're going to square it. So the idea of squaring something, you have that little 2 in the upper right-hand side, is you multiply a number by itself. So again, if I were to take negative 12.8, and I were to multiply that by negative 12.8, I would get 163.8. Let's look at the second row. If I were to take negative 11.1, and I were to multiply it by negative 11.1 by itself, you would get 123.2. Let's again look at the last row. If we were to take 13 and multiply it by itself, 13, you would get 169. I invite you for those 3 days in the middle, 34.2, 34.5, and 36.8, to make sure you understand how we get the calculations in column 2 and column 3 for those middle three rows. We went over the first row, the second row, and the last row. It'd be great practice after this lecture to go through and make sure you understand how we get those middle three rows. Awesome. So notice all the numbers in the last column. They're all positive. You don't have any more negative numbers. That's what happens. If you multiply a number by itself, it will always be positive. If you multiply two positive numbers together, they'll be positive. If you multiply two negative numbers together, they'll be positive. So as long as you multiply a number by itself, as long as you square a number, it'll always be positive. Wonderful! So let's take a look at that last column. Remember, we're not done with the equation yet. We now have the calculation for each individual observation of the squared distance each data point is from the average. Remember what we have to do according to our equation on the left-hand side. We need to sum all those numbers up. So what we're going to do is we're going to add all those numbers together. That's the idea of the summation sign. And we're going to divide by 730. Now, we're not dividing exactly by sample size. We're dividing by sample size minus 1. There's a lot of mathematics and statistics behind that that is beyond the scope of this course. So you just have to trust me on this one. So we're going to divide by the sample size minus 1 and essentially get something that's close to the average of the squared distances, the squared values of difference between each data point and the average. So if we were to do that for our data set, in our data, the spread of temperature, at least according to variance, is 239.8 degrees Fahrenheit squared. Wait, hold on a second. Squared? Huh? Well, that doesn't really make intuitive sense. It's what do you mean by a squared temperature? What is squared temperature? Well, that's one of the downsides to variance. Again, take a look at that last column. To make sure that all of the values were positive, we squared the values. We multiplied them by themselves. So because of that, we're no longer working in the original units of the data. We were working with degrees Fahrenheit. Well, we multiplied degrees Fahrenheit by degrees Fahrenheit. So now we have degrees Fahrenheit squared. I know, not very intuitive, not very easy to understand. Luckily, we have something we call the standard deviation. You see, the problem with variance is that it's measured in squared units. Again, something like squared degrees Fahrenheit. Or if you were looking at height in inches, it would be measured in squared inches. That's not helpful. To correct for this, the standard deviation is literally just the square root of the variance. So the square root function, that big line that you see over top of our equation and in front of our equation, that's what we refer to as the square root. It's basically the opposite of taking the square of something. So remember, we squared every observation. Well, we're basically doing the opposite of that with the square root. We're just doing it after we take the average. So we're going to square everything. We're going to square all of the distances between each point and the mean. Then we're going to take essentially the average of them. We're summing them all up, dividing by n minus 1. And now that we have that squared number, we're going to take the square root of it. And that is going to be our standard deviation. So if you ever need to calculate the standard deviation, first things first, just calculate the variance. Once you calculate the variance, well, you already have the standard deviation. Just take the square root. So in our data set, the spread of temperature according to standard deviation is 15.5 degrees Fahrenheit. Ah, okay. I'm not quite sure necessarily what standard deviation means, but I understand that 15.5 degrees is at least measured in the same units as my data. So something like range that we talked about earlier is a little bit more intuitive. People understand the range. However, standard deviation is a wonderful number to compare. Now, if someone just told you, well, the standard deviation of temperatures is 15.5 degrees, you wouldn't necessarily know if that's really spread out or not really spread out. But that's okay. Standard deviations are made, just like variances, to be compared to each other. In fact, ranges are the same way as well. Again, if I told you the range of temperatures in Hawaii is only 10 degrees, where the range of temperatures in Washington, D.C. is 70 degrees, then you would know Washington, D.C. has more spread out temperatures than Hawaii does. It would be the same thing here. If I told you the standard deviation of temperatures in Hawaii is 3 degrees, but the standard deviation of temperatures in Washington, D.C. is 15.5 degrees, well, you would know that Washington, D.C. has more spread out temperatures than Hawaii does. That would be the idea. The intuition is more a comparison. We're looking to get a number that summarizes spread, and then we're going to use it to compare it to another number. So really quickly, what are two common characteristics that variance and, as well, standard deviation have? Well, the two most common characteristics of variance and standard deviation is if the variance is equal to zero, then all of the data points in your data set have the same value. This makes intuitive sense, right? If I told you your data has zero spread, there's no variability, there's no spread in your data. Well, the only way that could happen would be if all of the data points are the same, right? The only way that heights, for example, had no spread were if all the heights were the same. The only way that temperatures would have no spread, well, that would mean that all the temperatures would have to be the same. However, if you have data that is not the same, then all measures of spread, standard deviation and variance, are positive in value. They're bigger than zero. In other words, there is no such thing as negative spread, which makes sense. It's kind of like distance. If you walk 3 feet forward and 3 feet back, you didn't walk negative 3 feet. You just walked 3 feet in the other direction. It's the same thing with spread. There is no such thing as negative variance or negative standard deviation. Spread is always a positive number. Again, unless all of the data values are the same, then spread is just zero. Okay, I know we talked about a lot in today's lecture, but remember, we don't only look at center, but we also look at variability when it comes to describing what a variable looks like. Range is one possible way of looking at variability. It's the difference between the largest and smallest values. It's also probably one of the most intuitive ways of sort of understanding. Variance, however, is a very common way also of measuring spread. It's just a measure of spread around the average. Specifically, it's sort of the squared distances from the average. Standard deviation, though, is a better number to report than variance, because variance is measured in squared units. That doesn't help too much. So we take the square root of that, and that's called the standard deviation. Wonderful. Well, we finished another whole section here in the course talking about exploring data. That is the end of this lecture. That is the end of this section, and I look forward to seeing you in the next one.